Thank you. I really appreciate being here today in KCFA Baltimore. My history with KCFA goes back, I think, to 2006 or something in Virginia, and I was speaking to the campus, and it was really powerful because I know I'm speaking to very educated guys like some of you. And I was wondering, what do I tell people who got a PhD and a real PhD, not an honorary one? Because I know that when you do a PhD and you've been working for it for a long time, if I come along and I'm a doctor with an honorary degree, I don't know what to say. So I remember it was a very good meeting in Virginia, and it was very good. Now, I want to speak from the book of Romans 13, from a scripture you know very well, many of you. You have read about it, and you have read it over and over again, and it's on the back of your hand, and you can see it, and you can maybe remember even when I mention one, you go through the other. So I just want to speak from this scripture. And my word today is not teaching, it's prophetic, if I may call it so. And I would appreciate if you listen. Now, before you read, I happen to have gone back to school for several years, and sometimes back, I was doing leadership. And I was in class for several years, and I remember after being out of school for a long time, I had a problem concentrating and listening to the lecturer. And because I was learning with young people, I remember my lecturer saying oftentimes, when I'm introducing a topic, listen. Amen? Is that true? If you lose a speaker, the first few words, you miss them. Like me, because I speak like a typewriter, and I'm going to slow down a bit. If you miss me, then you miss me. I don't want you to miss me. So let me say something here, kindly and humbly, because this is what I'm going to say, and it will get your heart to connect with what I'm saying. My intention today is one, to echo the voice of Mordecai in the book of Esther. And my intention is, when I speak this, echo this voice of Mordecai from Mordecai to Esther, my desire is the Esther today will listen to the cry of Mordecai and stand up and do something for this nation and for this world and for the church today. Amen. Amen. That's my desire. I have nothing else. When I preach, I have nothing behind me. I preach because I was taken from my office. I used to work with Lillian's father. And I remember one time I used to speak to him. And of course, I was still born again. And I was taken from my office, and the Lord told me, go out and preach. For 7 years, I said no. Until three men came to me in my house one morning. All they said is that obey the Lord, and I obeyed God. I left my office, my work, which was well-paying, and I went to preach. But before I left, I was asking myself, who shall I be eating? How shall I be dressing? And now my children are going to high school. What shall I pay school fees for them? And the Lord did not speak to me. You know, he keeps quiet when you argue. Do you know that? He gets quiet. And I went out, and I found something very interesting, because my history is very interesting, that every day I had two loaves of bread instead of one. You didn't hear that one? When I left the office, a good job, a good paying job, and I was wondering, what do I do with this ministry and there's no income? From the day I left that office, I started having two loaves of bread every morning, not from my church, but from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Trust the Lord. Therefore, when I preach with one purpose, to give God the glory and to magnify Him. Because when I do that, He is faithful and true. One more thing, I have no name to keep. Because my name is already messed up. Because my background is very, very, you know what it means, eh? And I might say is that I come from Sabatia Fire Station where we only sold donkeys and the best transport we saw is donkeys. I'm in business. That's true. And if we saw a train, you know the way young children see trains, because the only vehicle was the train from very far away, about 3 miles away, would start saying, Galiangu, and you know, and start claiming some. That's all I knew. And that's been my life all through until recently when the Lord decided to be giving me 2 suits. So now, what do I care about? I care one thing, the Lord be glorified. Amen. One more thing I care is this. I may do what I'm supposed to do here on this earth. Hallelujah. Amen. The other thing the Lord knows what to do with me in heaven. Amen. If I do what I'm supposed to do here, the other things are in order. Amen. So that I have no name to keep. If I say something, please, I don't mean to offend you. I just mean to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, Romans 13, verse 8, going down there to verse 13. The Bible says, and I say, don't forget what I said before, my intention, my desire. And I repeat again. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandment, do not commit adultery, don't murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 11. And do this, understanding the present times. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Amen. My key verse is this one, just this one. And do this understanding the present time. And do this with understanding the present times. Do all you do by understanding the present time. As you sit down to pray, pray understanding the present times. As you take the Bible, take the Bible, understanding the present times. As you come to church, understanding the present times. As you set yourself to preach, pastors, preach, understanding the times. Now, understanding is different from knowing. Please help me here if it's true. Understanding is being compatible with what you know. It's having the grip, not only the knowledge, because this what you call head knowledge, and not head knowledge is very dangerous. Because it puts somebody there, and there's nothing there. Understanding is beyond reading. Understanding is getting in the spirit, getting hooked to God. Hallelujah. When you hook to God in the Holy Spirit, what God is thinking, you will know it. What God is feeling, you will know it. One time there was this lady in our church, about 10, 15, 16 years ago, she said, I was preaching and I said something that was kind of prophet. I said, I am going there. And she said, where he is going, I shall go. And then she said, Lord, give me the heart of my pastor that when he says something, when he looked at something, I know what he is thinking. And from that day on, I tell you something. She was compatible. She was hooked to my spirit. That every day, even today, Anne had done a lot of things in our church. She knows I can leave her to do anything because she understands my mind. Because before I speak, because she prayed, give me my pastor's heart. Last year, about 2014, I left her doing a building, a woman doing a building, a huge building. I went to the building, and she did it. Because she understands what I need done. Therefore, understanding is not knowledge only. It's beyond this paper, it's beyond hearing, it's beyond what you think. It's getting hooked to the Holy Spirit. When God's heart is kicking or beating, your heart beats with God. Hallelujah. And when your heart beats with God, he will be thinking something and you will know it before nobody else knows about it. Hallelujah. And knowing the present times. Today I was speaking to in a certain church. And these people who are looking at me, I think we are about three blacks in that church. And I have this question because I'm not landed myself. My English is just borrowed. Of course, let me say because I don't have a PhD. I have these guys. Tell me, and I think you tell me, and kindly please tell me, how many credit hours do you need to have to get a BA? How many credit hours? 120 credit hours to complete a degree. Okay. How many credit hours do you need to do a BA, a master's? 150. How many credit hours do you need to do a PhD? PhD, please. Oh, come on. Say 120, 150, that's 270? 160. 270 plus 160? Please, I'm coming to something very serious. Please add to me. 270 plus 160, how much? How much? How many? 430. See, you guys are speaking American English. 430. Now, how many have been in the church here for 10 years? How many have been born again for 10 years? Imagine every year, 52 Sundays, you go to church for about four hours. Are we there? Multiply 52 Sundays, multiply by four. How many? Multiply by 10? Therefore, every person here should be a professor. Amen. Come on, amen. Hey, professors. But you know what, brethren? Every professor, where they study, their minds change. Their way of working changes. Hallelujah. Amen. Their attitude changes because they are landed. Inside their head, they have a PhD and all that. And you see those guys, you want to tell them, guys, please don't come near me because I don't have that. Am I right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My question is today, has the church changed? Have we changed? How far have we changed? How How much can you do in God's kingdom? What's your attitude towards God's kingdom? It towards salvation, it towards the devil. Because every knowledge makes somebody change. Bible says, you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? Truth shall set you free, free from fear, intimidation, because you know yourself. Hallelujah. I say today, my brother, the church should be living such high level in authority, in power, in dominion because of being in church for about 20 years. Because those years, pastors and ministers have invested thousands of times. They have invested prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Is that not true? Don't say yeah because you're not a pastor. Others, they will tell you what they do behind the scenes. How much they invest. And all they do is that, Father, I pray for this girl. Father, I pray for this woman, oh God. Father, I pray that may change. What I'm saying is this. After spending 10 years in church, we should be all powerful, standing up and telling the devil, devil, enough is enough. Amen? Because we know the word. But the problem is, church, the word is here, but not understanding. When we understand who the Lord is, we shall sing amen until heaven comes down. And by the way, Lydian, get this team in Nakuru, and if they don't come to Nakuru, you will be in trouble. Hallelujah. I mean, they are singing like angels. This time I felt, oh Lord, I mean, these guys, I need to bring them to Nakuru. If you get something good, take it. Amen? You get something good, take it. Hallelujah. Understanding the time we are living in. Brethren, I want to be sober when I'm preaching because I won't preach for long and say this. We all are in America today. The very famous nation in the world. Very advanced with technology. Very rich. The nation where everybody wants to come. This America, my brother, is so known, so loved, everyone wants to come. And I'm telling you something. You know what's happening in America today. The technology and the everything else. I can't be able to say these things. You know better than I do. And all these things are telling us, time is coming. But one thing they're not able to do, to stem terrorism. To shut it out, they can be able to do it. The other day, I was telling them this morning, the other day they were telling their people, don't come to Kenya because it's not safe. Am I right? They said, don't come to Kenya. And they sang that song until the nation was hit, this nation. They could do nothing. Listen, brother, no one is going to change this situation. It will escalate and go on because the eastern wind is blowing towards America. The eastern wind is blowing towards Kenya. I tell you, brethren, don't be lied to. The eastern wind is blowing toward the Christian nations, and the intention is to put the church down there, and they will do it. But every person who knows what you're talking about today will rise up and say, I shall stand on my feet. I'll take my place and pray for the church. And be the person that should be. Amen. I'll take my place and pray and fast and say, devil, you will not do it. Because the only weapon that can make the devil not come, not oppress the church, is not the weapons of warfare. It's not big jet fighters. It's not the big guns. The only power that will stop this insurgency is the power on our knees. Understanding the present times. Brethren, you know, recently, we had a new constitution. Kenyans, are you there? A new constitution in 2010. We opposed it. We went somewhere with some friends of mine, and about 13 of us, we went to Kitengela, we prayed, and the Lord told us, don't allow this constitution. And we told them, We got the government to talk. The government don't allow this thing. Please don't do it. One man, very rich man, I don't know who, I will not say who he is. He was speaking on TV. The Christian TV, and he said, pastors in Kenya are mad. Let me take it to Mathare. But today they're saying something different. They're saying, we wish to listen to the pastors. Why? Because they entrench Catholic coach in our constitution. Are you there? So therefore, we are paying the Muslims. They have better privileges. They are better endowed. They have more power. Listen, beloved ones, we need God. We need God. And the only people who can stem that tide, the only people who can do something, the only people who can say no, is the church when you understand the times you are living in. When you know that, there's something else. We can, prayer without action is dead. And action without prayer is dry. Therefore, if you are praying, the Lord demands, pray and do something. Pray and stand for your nation. Pray and stand for America. Pray and stand and say something and do something. You know very well more than I do that today in America, a Muslim will pray in the office every time 1 o'clock. Am I right? Am I saying something? Have you been there? How many here can carry their Bibles to the office? I'm asking you guys, tell me, how many people can carry their Bibles in the office today in America? How many people can witness in America if you're in the office? Do you do that? But a Muslim will do it. Listen, church, don't take things for granted. See, look at things properly and understand what's happening. When you understand, be on your knees and pray. Because the next generation we have today, Akina Peter and Akina the other people, I tell you something. Before you grow old, I keep wondering, how is it going to be for our children? Because Kenya and the world is in danger. And the only person who can change the situation is the person who understands, who enters in the spirit and stops the tide from moving on. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Israel are very interesting people. They have what they call the Samson complex. Now, this is, I know you know what I mean, some of you. Many years ago, Israel were fighting this war. And while they were getting defeated, they went to a place called Masada. I know maybe you've been there. Masada, and they went there, and many of them, they said, because we don't want to be killed by non-Jews, we want to die. They killed themselves. And the last, they killed their people, and then the last person killed himself. It is called Masada Complex. Now, they have said, we are applying something we call the Samson Complex. If we are sensing defeat, we shall die with the whole of Middle East. Hallelujah. I know you don't know these things, but that's the truth. Listen. Because they know who they are dealing with in the natural. Church, know who you are dealing with in the spirit. He's called the devil. And the devil doesn't care about you. He cares what he wants to do. Therefore, let's put all the differences aside, pastors. Let's put all the differences aside, my beloved ones. Let's put them aside and say, we are turning for God's kingdom in America. We shall do something now, not tomorrow. Beloved ones, you can change America, you people. You can do it. Amen. You can stand for this great nation because this is your nation. Am I right? It's your nation. Stand for this nation. Pray for this nation. And don't pray a 5-cent prayer. A 5-cent prayer can do nothing. Do you have a penny somewhere? How am I going to get a penny? Who can I penny by? Can a penny buy anything? If a penny cannot buy nothing, listen to me. The 5-cent prayer can do nothing. We need to start up and say, we are going beyond praying, a fasting prayer. We are praying and fasting for this nation. I know many of you who are in Kenya, you are praying for 40 days in Karura. True? Yeah. Were you there? Karura Forest? Yeah. Only there many times. Twice. And one time I was got up by Mikora and they took my everything. I didn't stop going to pray. I went to pray. You are praying for 40 days, and when you pray for 40 days, something was happening. Ah, come on, amen. Amen. When you come from Karura and you went to the village market, to your homes and to your village, demons would bow because you have got the power and anointing. Am I right? What's happening today? The other day you had no money, now you have the money. You have no degree, now you have the degree. Can I go ahead? No. What's happened to? Because you can start against demons. They tell you, come on, come. Something must happen. We must change and go back where we were. Be the people we were. Because times have changed. Now, Matthew, the book of Matthew says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, hallelujah, from the days of John the Baptist until now, God's kingdom suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. Listen, friend, nothing good comes from nowhere. Everything good comes from somewhere. Every good woman comes from a good man. You can hear what she's saying now. Huh? Every hallelujah. Now, are you looking at me? Okay. Every good daughter comes from a good father. Every good son comes from a good father. And the father labors. Listen, sir, that child is in your hand today. She becomes what you want her to become because of your good father and a good mother. If you don't do something, labor, put your money there, your resources and prayers, she become anything. You must labor for her. Amen? Amen? Every labor pays. Today in Kenya, you know very well, many young people are dying. Don't you know that? Have you known that? Many young people are dying, especially young men. In Moranga the other day, I think about 3 years ago, there was no nursery school. Because the male seed is destroyed. The male seed. The male, they're not nursery school. Am I saying something? Do you hear about it? What happened? There were many years, but they had been destroyed by the devil. People are giving them drinks to destroy them. Listen. Woman, I tell you something. Mom, I tell you something. You can put your feet in the ground and say, my son will not be destroyed by the enemy. Because I know my God, because I know him, I know his power. He is my friend. He is my savior, my redeemer, my God. I say, my family must be safe. Kenya must be safe. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Put your feet in the ground and say, no way, devil. This nation will be safe. Kenya will be safe. Amen. Hallelujah. And our children will be safe. Hallelujah. Mamas. You know, when I'm preaching, I don't want to say much about mamas because there are things they do we don't do. The things they go through, no one goes through these issues. And if you're a man, don't tell me you know. I know men are looking at me now, they're saying, what do you mean? I know it. I'm a father. How many men here who are to the labor were to give birth? Man, how does it feel? No idea. Thank you, sir, because you have no idea. no idea. But when she's there, and she comes out with a beautiful baby, my brother will say, hallelujah, this is my son. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you something. My sister knows where the baby has come from. She knows. She knows. One time she was in labor ward and she was saying, I don't want this man anymore. I don't like this man anymore. I hate him. I hate him. When the baby has come out, he says, oh, amen. I want another one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that moment is a moment of just about death. And can I say it? Can I say it? And she's pushing and saying, and sweating. Amen. No man knows that. Hallelujah. Listen, therefore, a mama can do anything for the baby. Hallelujah. I hear some men say, keep him quiet, that's okay. I thank God because I'm a man like you, and I'm also there. Listen to me, please. A mama will feel that pain, not only the spiritual pain, even physical pain, if the baby is feeling pain. Because there's a connection of that pain she feels. Listen, she can do anything. Therefore, I'm saying today, can we all have this attitude? We can do anything for our nation, for our people, because something must be done. Amen. We must do something. We can do it. We can do it. We can stand and do something. Brethren, finally, let me say this about the first finally, and then maybe the second one, and maybe the third one that I finish. Finally, when I will think about this, I will think about the church in Laodicea, the seven churches. If you're a reader of the book of Revelations, how many read Revelations, please? How many have read Revelations? Thank you. This book of Revelation, and the last church is called the Church of Laodicea. And they say, the Church of Laodicea, the Lord says, I know who you are. You call yourself rich, but you are poor. You are not even hot or cold. Am I there? If I will spit you out. And I was thinking, Lord, where are we today? The present church is like the Church of Laodicea. In Kenya, in America, everywhere. Maybe China is different because they're facing issues. Because, you see, problems make them worship God and pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Do you know something? If we don't pray, time is coming where we might be forced to pray. Let's come out of the Church of Laodicea. Let's say we are praying before it happens. One more thing I was thinking about is about the 10 virgins. I was thinking this. The 10 virgins were 10. 10. And now the word virgin means unspoiled, untouched, pure and holy. Am I right? Am I right? What does it mean? This young man is pure and spoiled. This young lady is pure and unspoiled. She's clean. And we have been bought by the blood of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are pure and clean. We are okay. But remember, among them there are five virgins who are foolish. They are going to meet the bridegroom, and they are using their lamp because it's getting dark. And they are saying, let's go meet the bridegroom. And they are there with their lamps. And finally, the five of them felt, no, we must go and get fresh oil. Because it's getting a bit late. Let's get some fresh oil. And they went to get the fresh oil. The five were left. They said, it's okay, guys. I mean, don't you worry. They were living as usual, just as usual. They were living like Samson. Oh, it's okay. I am Samson. And one day, Samson rose up and he said, after his hair was shaved, he said, I shall wake up as usual. I shall wake up and shake myself. Are you there? I shall wake up and speak in tongues like as usual. As I wake up and pray as usual. As I wake up, I command the devil as usual. He didn't understand. It's over. Hallelujah. Until he came back to his senses. And he said, I know now I did a mistake. And he prayed and said, Lord, give me strength only once more. At this time, I'll deal with my enemy. This time, I'll die with them. This time, I'll do something. Amen. He said, this time is the last time. This time, I don't care to live. I'll do something that they will realize is something. Hallelujah. We are supposed to do that. Let's wake up now. Let's know something. We must rise up and say like Samson, Lord, only one more time, Lord. One more time, Lord. Give me one more time, Father, to do something in this world. Brethren, kindly, listen to me, please. I say kindly. Me, I want you guys to come back to Kenya. When you have a master's degree and PhD, please come back home. We need you. Why? Because we need the Christians in high offices. But remember something. If you come back home, come loaded, not only with the degrees, come loaded with the power of the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Come loaded with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Come loaded with conviction, commitment. Hallelujah. Come loaded. Come back loaded. When you come loaded, my brother, you leave a mark. There's a brother in the land office, a senior man in the land office. He's the director. And I don't want to say this because I don't know if I should say it. One time he was met by very senior people and he was asked, have you given body Yakeyama? Have you given that ship that's called body Yakeyama to become a real man? Have you had that? Have you had it? Pull your antennas beyond what you know. I'll just get there. This man said, I'll not give it. I don't give it. If I lose my job, I lose my job. And when there was a controversy with Ngilo and other people, he's the one who was told by his boss, go there and speak on behalf of the office of lands. Amen. The other day, a man came with a big case involving about 30 billion shillings. This man was told by the boss, take this case because I trust you. We need you guys. But we need men and women who are loaded with the fear of God. Amen. Because only that one will change our nation. Only that one will change America. Beloved ones, if you do that, you will never lose. You gain. Because this world will be taken by the violent. We are coming to a point where for you to enter in an office and get something, you must be violent. Amen. For you to bribe in Kenya and not be forced to bribe, you must be violent. Amen. For you to go somewhere and get a license for something, you must be violent. Say, I am not bribing. Amen. Brethren, knowing and understanding the time you're living in is very important. Finally, brethren. It's a question of making a decision. You know who you are today? You know who you are today? You know who you are today? You know what you have done for your life? Some of you have got degrees. Some of you have invested home. You're having good things to do. You're good families. It's simply because you decided. You made a choice to do that. Choices, known or unknown, are so powerful. And some of them can be very detrimental. Because you make a choice, unknown, unspoken, you make the wrong choice. Some people make a choice to go and drink and use drugs. It's a choice. Amen? It's a choice. Some people say, no, I will read and do something back home. And they do something. I'll read and get a good job in America. And they do it. Brethren, what I'm saying today will only be done if you make a decision today. Say, from now I will do something. From now I shall stand up and say and do something. From now I shall stand up and say, no way again. I'll stand up and do something for our nation, for this nation, and for the whole church of the Lord in the world. I shall stand up and be a Christian, the Christian I should be. I'm not going to be an ordinary Christian anymore. And when you do that, because you make a decision, that decision will help you to move on. That decision will help you to change your environment. That decision will help you to change your son and your daughter. That decision will help you to stand well in the Lord. And your decision will cost ripples. If you don't, it's too bad. Now, I am done. Let me say this. The first question I asked when I came here, and come kindly, I'm asking kindly, please, and please, kindly, ask about how many credit hours it takes to get first degree, second, and third. And I said, every Christian who has been in church for about 10 years should be having beyond a PhD. Because we've been in church for a long time. I'm asking this question. Has this changed your life? Are you completely changed? Or do you feel I still remain something up there? I want to climb up there. The best attitude is, I want to keep on moving. I want to keep on going. I say this with sincerity, that I'm so concerned about the church today, because we come to church, we hear powerful worship. Of course, not in America, in Kenya. We hear powerful worship. People cry and dance. When they come out of the church, they're the same. I'm concerned with Kenya. And what is happening in America, I'm concerned. Because it becomes usual. Like Samson. Let's refuse for these things to be taken as usual again, because they are life-giving. Salvation is the only thing, but the best thing ever in life. Let's not do these things as usual. Let's do these things with urgency, with a cry in our hearts. Let's do these things knowing this one thing. Time is not on our side. And somebody must do something. Things must change. Brethren, understanding the present times, we are evil times we're living in. From now, brethren, I pray, ask yourself, am I progressing? Am I doing something for tomorrow? Am I moving on? Am I a better Christian more than yesterday? Am I a more powerful Christian more than yesterday? Can I face the devil better than yesterday? Can I say today, can I tell the devil, devil, no way. Can I do that today with confidence? Does he move? These are the things we need to ask ourselves. If it don't happen, I want to ask you, brethren, let's, from today, start changing. God bless you.